This morning, our scripture is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 through 23. I'll say up front, it is a story in there, and Luke tells it very well. This is our first in our sermon series of Waiting for the Love of God. Hear what Luke says in his very first chapter at verse 5. And Luke writes, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.'" Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we enter into this season of Advent, especially as we look at this story that we've just heard, what happens when God speaks and we can't? When God speaks and we can't. Have you ever heard something so amazing that it literally left you speechless? And there you are standing with your mouth open and jaws fixed and you can't say a word. And if it wasn't amazing, maybe it was so unbelievable that in your mind you questioned the believability of what was being said, not because you didn't want to believe it, but because the events of the story in and of themselves seems so bizarre that you didn't quite believe it, and you didn't think other people would believe it either, so you said nothing. And what if the story was about angels and messages from angels that came from God, who had gone dark and hadn't spoken a word in about 400 years? Would that arrest or paralyze your vocal cords if only for a little while, especially if you were the one receiving the message? And what if you had heard, what if what you had heard was something you'd been waiting for a long time? So long that your first inclination is to doubt. What if the voice you'd been waiting to hear was God's voice? That could be a scary thing for a lot of people. Just enough to keep us from saying anything in our doubt. And that's the situation that opens our story today. The prophet Zechariah had been given the responsibility to go into the temple to pray. This was a part of his family tradition from a long line of priests in the tradition of Aaron. His job was to take incense into the temple and offer prayers for the sins of the people while the people gathered outside praying for themselves. By law, they were not allowed to go into the temple to pray or to do anything else until the priest had come out of the temple and then offered a prayer for them publicly. And today was Zechariah's day. He had waited for his turn in the priestly order to go into the temple to pray for the people, and today his lot was pulled. But there's more. Often these trips to the temple were characterized by silence, not from the priest, but from God. The Jewish people had been out of exile for 400 years up until this day, and none of the priests had heard so much as even a whisper from God. There had been no prophecy, no proclamation of promise, no words of chastisement, no nothing, just crickets. And that eerie silence that was a partner to their prayers. Silence from a God who had been so intimate before, speaking to and through the prophets. Silence from the God who called people by name and proclaimed their calling to them personally. Silence from God who had often laid out the future of Israel before they could live it out into reality. But this day would be different. This day, for the first time in 400 years, God would speak to the Jewish nation through the angel Gabriel, and he would speak directly to the priest, Zechariah. Zechariah had been coming to the temple for years now, always faithfully saying his prayers for the people and always faithfully adding his own little personal prayer for the birth of a child to call his own. There's no telling how many days he had prayed his prayer for a child and left the temple waiting for God to answer his prayer in hope, and always, always being left to wait on his disappointment to disappear. And now that he was an old man and his wife was an old woman, his hope was probably gone, and his prayer was nothing more than a strong wish for God to do maybe nothing more than say no, so that Zechariah could put his hopes and wishes to bed. And then out of the silence, God speaks. The angel Gabriel appears and speaks to Zechariah words too wonderful for Zechariah to believe. He tells him everything in great detail, explaining the child's importance for the future of Israel. And the fact that Zechariah is hearing from God in the midst of the temple isn't enough to confirm that his prayers have been answered, that his prayers have been heard. Zechariah now wants proof, some type of confirmation that what he's hearing is real. I mean, after 400 years, of silence. This story is just a little bit too hard to believe. And because of his lack of faith, he is consigned to silence until the event becomes the event, and the day becomes the day, and God's word becomes Zechariah's reality. God has spoken, and now Zechariah can't. But what does that mean for us? In some ways, this is a strange story for us to understand. God has been silent for 400 years and has now spoken to Zechariah, and yet the silence continues. The verdict? Zechariah must wait and play the game of charades with people to try to get them to understand what's just happened. He's experienced the love of God through answered prayer, but now he must wait. His hope is being fulfilled, and yet he must wait. His dream is coming true, and yet he has to wait for it. He's bursting with joy that his prayer has been answered, and yet he must wait. Maybe that's what happens when God speaks to all of us. We find ourselves unable to speak. You see, brothers and sisters, if we face the truth about it, life is filled with waiting. It's normal for us to wait. Right now, someone is waiting for me to finish this sermon so they can do something else. And if we stop and wait long enough to look at it, this story is really about normal people doing normal things and the waiting that often goes along with it. These are people living normal lives with normal problems. And right now, there's someone who's probably wanting to have a child and waiting to have a child, but can't. There's probably someone wanting to hear from God and waiting to hear from God about a job they applied for, or perhaps about when injustice will end, or evil or sickness, but God has remained quiet and hasn't spoken through the doctors or the nurses or the legal people or the last place they applied for a job, and they're waiting for some news. Right now, there's someone waiting to be prayed for, waiting for a stoplight to change, waiting for a seat in a restaurant, waiting for a phone call, waiting for a husband or a wife to come home from the war. Life is filled with waiting, and in all of our waiting, we never come to the reality that the waiting never stops. There's always something that we're waiting for. We're waiting for our dreams to come true, or for the time to be right so that we can retire, or for our children to come or to go, depending on your prayers. I guess the reality is we should never get tired of waiting, because we're always waiting on something. Our lives are filled with waiting. And when it seems the waiting is over, when it seems that one prayer has been answered, it just opens the door to another period of waiting. In our text, the people were waiting for the priest to go in, and then they were waiting for the priest to come out. The priest was waiting for God to speak, and now he has to wait to be able to speak again. Zechariah was waiting for Elizabeth to get pregnant, and now he must wait for the baby to be born. It just seems like the waiting never ends. We only move from one period of waiting to another period of waiting. And yet in that time of waiting, God speaks to us. Not in the midst of our loud ranting, not in the center of our busyness, but in our waiting, God speaks to us. It's in our waiting that we can discover the voice of God speaking to us through the silence, the common silence through which God speaks. It is in our waiting that God can break through the silence of not knowing what to say, that we can best hear God, and we are invited to enter into that place of silence that we might hear God speak to us. There was a children's book called, and the title of the book was called The Hole to Dig. And each page was illustrated and declared the purpose of something. For instance, it would say, a pile of leaves is to jump in, and a mud puddle is to slide in, and so on. A pile of snow is to make snow angels in. And the book makes perfect sense if you're a child. The world is made for our general entertainment. It gives us things to do and pleasures to revel in. But there's something rather ironic about reading the book as an adult, because we've developed a much more pragmatic sense of the purposes of things like holes. Because for an adult, a hole is to fill before someone trips and falls in it and sues you. Or a pile of leaves is to put into plastic bags before the Thursday pickup, or mud to be scraped off your shoes or boots before you come into the house and step on the carpet. And that same pragmatism that turns a tired and jaundiced eye toward holes and mud seems to inform our liturgical sensibility, reflected in many churches on the purpose of silence. Silence, it seems, in many churches is to be filled. Perhaps it would help us to hear more regularly the story of Elijah on Mount Horeb waiting for the Lord to pass by. The Lord, you remember, was not in the great wind. The Lord wasn't in the earthquake or in the fire. But as one Bible translated, the Lord was in the sound of sheer silence. Church's long history of contemplative practice seems to suggest that there is some knowledge of God that can only come in stillness. Be still and know that I am God. Silence, large and long and intentional enough to open a sacred space for the Holy One of God to enter in. Maybe that's why the prophet Habakkuk invites us in scriptures to remember that the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And perhaps somewhere between the waiting and the silence, God speaks to us and wishes to say something so profound that it would leave us speechless. And yet it's in this busyness of our lives that we have seldom been quiet or still long enough to hear God. And when God has spoken, we haven't heard those things that could be blessings to us. We haven't heard because we're so busy trying to make our case for what's important to us. Perhaps it's because we've waited so long to hear God speak that, like Zechariah, we're doubtful that God is really answering our prayer, or we're too dumbstruck to say anything. That God would even dare to speak to us is frightening enough, but that God would answer our prayers and tell us that they were being answered is enough to silence us. And perhaps there are times when God speaks and we can't, times when our prayers have been answered and there's nothing to say, times when we've waited long past the moment of hope being alive and God resurrected hope in us. Times when the very notion that God would break the silence leaves us awestruck and without anything to say. Clearly, those are times when God speaks and we can't. And maybe for us, just maybe, it seems like God has been silent for our entire lives while We're waiting for the love of God to arrest injustice and heal our diseases. Perhaps it seems like God has been silent too long while we're waiting for our prayers to be answered so that we can be convinced that the love of God is truly coming. But the truth is that today, God has spoken yet again. God has spoken to us through God's word to remind us that we weren't and aren't the only ones waiting for the love of God. God has spoken to remind us that long ago, before Jesus came, there were people waiting for God to break the silence and reveal the love of God to God's people. God has spoken to remind us of the story of the beginning of salvation. God has spoken to remind us that we're still God's people and that God's silence doesn't mean that God is absent. God has spoken once again to remind us that in the absence of hearing God's voice, we should never give up hope because our God is the God who gives birth to hope. God has spoken to reignite within us the belief that with God, all things are possible. And if God speaks and we find that we can't, then perhaps it's both a time and an opportunity for us to wait in reverent awe for the truth of God and the promises of God and the love of God to be revealed in our lives. We've had to wait and have to wait for faith to become sight. We've had to wait for God's vision and God's mission to become clear to us. We've had to wait for time, simple time, to pass to discern God's purpose and understand what God is calling us to do. And maybe we won't be able to speak until God's promises to us become real in our lives. Perhaps then when we speak, we will shout words of praise, thanksgiving, and mountain-moving faith, and not words of doubt and denial and disbelief. Perhaps then we can break through the silence of our voices with voices singing praises, thanking our Christ for speaking words of forgiveness and promise and hope and love. All of that while we wait for the love of God to come to us. The word of God for the people of God.